Hello everybody and welcome back to the AntPod. This is episode 25 special, and if you're watching live or rewatching live on the YouTube channel, we're doing it live with faces on. And yeah, to give a quick round, Casey, you can actually see how he's actually sitting. Are you always sitting like this when we're recording?
Oh, every time. I gave up trying to do the podcast from home.
Yeah. So it, and most of the time it works perfectly.
Yeah. Except, I mean, it's middle of the day for me. It's 1 p.m.
Yeah, and you actually go back to this.
Yeah, I go back to work every time.
Yeah.
This is lunch break.
Oh yeah, that's dedication. Next to, at least from my screen at least, next to Casey, we of course have Lady Lynn. How are you doing, Lynn?
Very good.
Not uncomfortable at all sitting streaming?
A little bit. It's something different for me. I don't normally record my face, so yeah, that's a bit a bit odd.
Yeah, I haven't tried it either before, so it's new for everyone. Just kidding. Lastly, we have Jake. Now, Jake, your audio quality is perfect. Your video images are very good, but the video itself is very laggy. But the important thing is we can see how happy he is. How are you doing, Jake?
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Although I'm a bit nervous. It's getting a bit hot in here. As long as it's all right.
Yeah, I'm getting a little hot in here as well. I've moved my radiator right next to me, because the other really take a hurt when they are cold. So now the radiator is as close as it can be to the ants. So meaning it's right behind me. So that's lovely. But yeah, this is episode 25 special. Because this is the AntPod episode 25, and this is what we're us for right here is the kind of main team, and we are of course doing this live for those who heard it. And yeah, if you're thinking what is going on, well, that's probably because something funny is happening on the stream if you're hearing the audio version, because of course this will also come out as an audio. And we have Ants Russian, Mayor Ants, and Antor in the comments. So hello to all of you. And yeah, of course, we don't really have a subject for today. We're just going to talk about, well, our favorite moments of the podcast and general behind the scenes. It's quite funny because we had a whole introduction to Casey in the initial podcast where he joined. Of course, we had a short introduction in episode 9, I think. No, episode 8 for Lynn in the female Ankeepers. And in episode 14, we had a short introduction to Jake as well. But we have never really had a proper introduction to you two as host, because you've just popped in from the side. I don't know if we actually... Should we start with that? Jake, for all those who just hear your voice and don't really know who you are, can you explain a little bit about who you are and why you are here on this podcast?
Well, I've got my YouTube channel, Anti Matters, and... Yeah, I got loads of ants, basically. So, yeah, I've been making a few videos on them. And I think I ended up here just because I'm, like, the biggest fan of the AntPod ever. And I think it's absolutely brilliant. So the opportunity to get on it was, I just had to take it. The first time I was like, no, because I was a bit kind of nervous about even having my voice, like, on there. But now it's a bit better now. Now I got my face on there. Although it's a bit probably... stuttery still. I don't know how it is.
Yes, that's a few pictures. Yes, a few pictures of your face at least.
I've got about 25, I think about 25 colonies at the minute, and yeah, things are going good. Most of them are, well, not most of them are sleeping, but a lot of them are sleeping now. But yeah, I've been keeping ants for quite a while as well. It's too long.
Yeah,
I think, you know, I started when I was 18, and I'm old now, so I think it's for 14 years, maybe. I don't know. However long, like 18, and then I think I'm 32. Oh, yeah, 14 years, I think, at least. yeah.
Yeah, I've been keeping since 2018, and that feels like a long time. So, yeah, but of course, I'm not gonna lie. I love you, of course. Do weekly ANN, which was a big competitor to the Ant News, and then you came with the ANN. But let's be honest, ANN is a little bit better than yeah, exactly. ANN News. Oh, lovely. And yeah, you kept talking about how much you liked it. Oh yeah, but
different, yeah.
Yeah, but on the Ant News, yeah, mm-hmm. on the Ant News part of the podcast, it's not as big as, well, ANN. But yeah.
I missed it this week because I was super busy. But next week, I'm going to make like a massive one. And basically, your latest video, that documentary, that's getting the special treatment, basically, because yeah, that was a good video or documentary.
That was like, really good video.
That latest one was good. In the chair, like, I knew it was bad when like I saw all the mics everywhere and the angle was perfect like that.
yeah, it was one of those videos where I just knew how I wanted to tackle it. But all of the video was, of course, recorded after the story. So when the story ended, that's when the video was starting. So, yeah. We have Ants Kelly also in the comments, together with Ants Norton. So hello to you two as well. So that's a little introduction to Antimatters, which is only about like 5 episodes too late. Lynn, even later as well. Way too late introduction to you. Of course, there were some introduction in episode 8. I don't know how detailed it was, but yeah. Lynn, who are you? Why are you here?
Who am I? Well, I'm Lynn. I'm 26. Am I 26? Yes, I am 26. I'm not sure what else to tell about me, actually.
Do you keep ants?
No.
No, okay.
Ants and roaches. At the moment, I think I have about 32 or 36 different colonies still. Yeah, but it's a little bit cold in my house, so my ants are complaining a lot, especially the exotics, because I keep a lot of exotics, so that's a little bit of an issue. But I think they'll manage, so that's going to be fine. And I've been keeping 4. I'm not sure. I think I restarted when I got my own home. So that's going to be around 2016 or 2017 or 2018 or something. I don't even remember. Yeah, that's pretty much it, I think.
And why have you joined the Antpod?
Oh, yeah. To annoy everything. No. yeah. I've wanted to join like for a very long time. I really enjoyed episode 8 and making it and just hanging out. I really liked hanging out, talking about ants. I don't talk about ants like during my normal life, like my day-to-day life, because there's no one to talk to with ants, about ants. Like my colleagues all look at me like, you're crazy, you're weird. Why the fuck? Sorry, why do you keep roaches? Why do you keep ants? Why do you buy ants for 280 euros? They're all like, you're mad in the head or something. And yeah, this is my go-to point, and I really like it. Like, yeah, should have done it sooner.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's the whole reason why I've done this podcast as well. I love talking with people about ants. But there's no reason to just reach out to random people and say, hey, you know what, blah, blah, blah. It's much better to just do a podcast where to just drop some episodes just talking about ants. Casey, I mean, of course, we have had an introduction to you. But why not just do an introduction again while we're doing the whole round? Casey, who are you?
I'm the American. When you were requesting new co-hosts, I just kind of, you know, I message random people on Instagram constantly with like dumb questions about ants. Like, somebody knows something that I want to know, and so I just talk to that person, And that's basically how I ended up here. I just... Holofer needed a new co-host, and I was like, why not? Give it a shot.
Hey, you gave it quite a shot. I remember...
I don't have ant friends, like, locally either. Like, there's a couple people I've talked to, but, like, nobody who wants to just talk way too much about bugs and ants. I just... So, yeah. it seemed like a really good opportunity.
Yeah. It's, and I must say, since we've learned each other, it's so interesting hearing your side of everything, because it's just so different to European ant-keeping. I mean, fundamentally, it's the same, but...
Yeah,
it's very different still. And I remember I had like the perfect team when I started. I was like, oh yeah, it's going to be perfect. Ryan and Sam, we're like three and we have totally different opinions. And then you just came and you're like, oh, you want to join? And I was like, oh, but you're married. It's going to be a little bit hard with the time zones and everything. And you're like, yeah, but I can take go home from work. And I'm like, oh, but I'm so happy I got you. And you kept sticking in. Because for a few days I was like, is it really the best to get him? Because, I mean, time zones and everything, but yeah, kind of great friend, and it's the perfect level of just also having an American on the show, just because it's so different, so yeah. But how many colonies do you keep, and how long?
I have somewhere between like 8 and 11, I'm not entirely sure, but I think I started 2018 or 19, just with pavement ants, and then shortly after I got my Pogo Nomarmex Barbatus, and then I enjoyed them for a year, and then I got really into it and started learning all the where they're at and all that extra sciencey stuff. So I accidentally like got somewhat decent at biology. And like a little bit of botany, but
yeah, you learn a little. You learn. That's also what I've learned. You learn so much different things. In the comments, we have Chump Grump saying, "First time I've caught live." Hello to you. It is the first little episode, live episode. I mean, it's a little bit of a concept because we've talked about doing this a few times. So why not just try to do a special episode and actually do it? How it works out, that's for the future to tell. But yeah, I mean, I can finish off this round. Most people probably know my story. But yeah, I started in 2018. I have my Ant Holofer YouTube channel and my Ant Holofer Extra channel and my 1,000 other social media channels. And I was in the same problem as, well, all of you. I didn't have any ant friends in real life, and I thought, I want to talk just ants, and I started a little plan, AntPod episode 1, of just interviewing all kind of different people. My end goal have always been to kind of reach Ants Canada and talk with them. But one of the early, I mean, we have a point of this podcast where we'll talk about our favorite kind of moments of this podcast. Rather it would be on the show or just something we've listened to. And also for the guys listening in live, if you have a favorite moment of the podcast, a funny moment, or your favorite episode, now time to share it, because, well, it's that time of the day. But yeah, now I'm just going to keep talking, because I'm very bad at stopping talking. But yeah, I remember the second episode, I got Ant Scandinavia on the show. And it was such a huge milestone, because he was kind of one of the four guys who got me in. And already there on episode 2, and Scandinavia were on the show, and we were talking, and it was such an amazing episode, and I really got boosted by doing that episode. And then, of course, episode 6, I interviewed Jordan Dean, the man behind the old Ants Australia channel. And yeah, that Jordan Dean interview... I had to get up at like 5 a.m. or something, but it was worth it. It was just talking with one of the main inspirations for keeping ants. It was just, that episode 6 was definitely the highlight, looking back at this whole podcast tryout. of course, we still want to get Ants Canada on the show one day. But that's for the future. So far, he hasn't responded every time I've asked. So it's lovely.
That guy runs like 6 different YouTube channels.
Yeah.
And he's we all seen the Ant Mansion in the Philippines. So like, he's not broke. And the only way you get that rich is if you're busy all the time. So
yeah,
it makes sense. Him and Jordan Dean are absolutely the reasons I got super interested in ant keeping.
Yeah. I mean,
I forgot what I was going to say. It wasn't a complete sentence.
Lovely.
I think one of my favorite episodes was when Basic Ants and I think it was Antboy UK. You had them both on and they were both debating so well. And yeah, they covered like that everything. Really, like, even the debate about test tubes, it was like, it's brilliant. Like, it's like, do you go for like glass and it's like, or plastic? Like, it's like the cheapness, it's going to smash. Like, they got everything. And
yeah.
So I do like that one.
I mean, that episode turned. Yeah. That episode was so much better than initially planned. to come with a little behind the scenes, of course, this episode, nothing. It's just Ankeeping 101. I think it's a 3-hour long podcast and it's just covering all the basics. And of course, I want to get Basic Ants on the show to do that podcast. And I kept seeing on Facebook that Antboy UK was like helping and answering the same starter questions. And I was like, let's just get him on as well if he wanted to. And he, of course, wanted to. And yeah. Those two really balanced each other out. So would you say that's your favorite moment of the podcast then, Anti Matters? Or Jake?
One of them, yeah. If I like rewatched it all, I might find or remember other ones, but I do just love the bit where they're debating test tubes. just like the passion and the depth of the debate. It was like brilliant. Like, yeah.
Bottom right. That would be Lynn. we of course have a few commenting live. Lynn, what would you say is your favorite moment of the Ant Pod?
I think I like the leaf cutter podcast the most because I learned like a crazy amount of stuff in that during that episode, and it was really and of course the honeypots, because I don't know much about honeypots, I don't know much about leaf cutters. So I learned a lot about those two, and I really like that. Very simple, but yeah, that's pretty much very educational.
So it's not even the episode you were on, the first episode, episode 8?
Well, I liked it. I liked being on there, but I like listening as well and learning. Yeah, the podcasts, for me, they are to learn stuff, to new stuff, to hear new ideas or arguments or stuff why you should do things, why you should not do things, different opinions of other people and stuff like that. So that's why I listened to the Antpod, or started listening to the Antpod actually.
Yeah. I mean, the main reason we did, I started this, was also because, of course, Formicast was another podcast and I loved listening to that. It was a little bit shorter. Most of the episodes were, I think, 30 to 40 minutes. But it was always amazing to just have something to look forward to. I think it was every Monday it came out. So I wanted something similar because it stopped. But it's definitely not the same to be on the episode. But hopefully the viewers experience that feeling.
When he was talking about coming back for his second season, because everybody kind of took a break at the same time, like there was the Colonial Ant cast as well. But when Formicast was talking about coming back, he hit me up because I just messaged him back and forth on Instagram all the time. And he suggested that I come on his show. But and then, like, I don't know if he got busy with his other show or just life in general, but we just kind of didn't talk as often anymore. And then you had this opportunity. I was like, yes, absolutely. Because I wanted ant content to listen to while I'm at work.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any. I could listen to YouTube videos, but that was, you know, that's not the same.
No.
Because it's visual content, so you need both parts to enjoy it Whereas, like, and I figured, well, if there is no content for me to consume, then let's make some content.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It's been fun. I'm having such a good time on this show, honestly. It's great.
Yeah, I love how much you've developed over since episode 10. I think episode 10 was the first one you were in. Of course, Lynn and Jake are fairly new to the AntPod team. But I love how the first few episodes we kind of had to learn each other. But now, if I just drop the question out, you always catch it and just come with a good answer. So yeah, it's of course, the more we get to know each other, the better the podcast gets. Because that's something I've found a lot of struggle with how a podcast, when you hear like a professional podcast, how they always just flow so well. But we're getting there. We're slowly getting there. And Casey, what would your favorite moment of this podcast or of the AntPod be then?
The first ones you did were just interviews. Those ones are all, I've re-listened to those several times. Probably my favorite episode would be the Honeypot episode, because I love just dry, you know, I want all the information I want to learn. So I like the super dry educational stuff. But it's also, I like hearing how other people do things, because, like, there, you know, there's more than one way to do things, and if you know all of them, then you can pick out what works best for you.
Yeah,
so I just like listening to how everybody else does stuff, and like, you guys have access to a bunch of ants that I can't have, and so I kind of I live through you in that way.
Yeah, how cool is this to actually buy exotics?
Oh, well, your guys' exotics aren't exotic to me. Well, some of them. But, like, but at the same time, they are, I don't know. It's just, you guys have stuff that I can't have, and I'm jealous. And I live through your colonies.
Yeah, I think that's also some of the things I've learned over, it's weird, because I'm, of course, just showing my colonies and just doing videos. But it's funny, especially at AnCon, how many actually came over and asked, so how's this colony doing? You haven't showed it a lot. It's like, how do we even know? I mean, it's funny how people actually invest that time and get the scenes behind the scenes.
We have. I messaged Hood, like, right after his fire ant thing. Like, I messaged him and asked him how his Sansabinas are doing all the time, and like. Because I have Sansabinas, but he's the only other person I know that has them.
Yeah, so he's just done an update. Like,
yeah, I saw that last night. I was pretty happy about
see
it.
Them all doing well, again.
Yeah, they've survived quite nicely.
I thought the campers would have been done for. Although I think it's just me. Like, I just can't keep campers. But I thought they were going to die after the fire ant attack. But it's amazing that they pulled through, though. And have, like, got so many workers now, too. Yeah, they haven't just sat around like sulking.
Are they a fast growing species? Is that
it depends if Lynn's got them or not, doesn't it? If Lynn's got them, they seem to explode in numbers. Anyway, I don't know.
Oh,
I just kill them.
So Casey, would you hang on before we lose the comment? Of course, all the live viewers, if you have a favorite moment, please be sure to drop it. We have Anto saying the episode with Former Duplain is definitely one of the best. He's such a funny guy, and those differences between the French community is nice to see. Yeah, I must say that was such a weird episode. Kept just sitting and laughing and smiling when he said, like, 3D printing is, I think it was 3D printing bad, he was considered bad. Yeah. It was bad for the ants. Yeah. I just love having, just like you also said, Casey, with the knowledge drops, just sitting back and smiling, just sitting listening. It's that's what I love about the interviews, because then it's not me who sits and talks, but I can just sit down like like you guys listening live and just sit and listen to knowledge. But how big is your sense of penis colony then, Casey?
Mine aren't much more ahead of Hood's. Like, I maybe have 8 workers each. I have 2 colonies because I eventually, like, I have 2 of almost everything because I eventually want to attempt the captive breed. I don't know how yet, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to figure it out when I have elates. But, yeah, so I keep 2 of everything for that purpose eventually.
That's so fascinating. Yeah,
they're pretty good. I like them. They grow faster than Vinicus. I don't know how to say it, but they grow faster than most of the other ones that I've had so far, which is only 2 other Campanotus species, but they definitely grow faster than the last one I had.
Yeah. So how are you planning on, do you have like a picture of how you want to do the indoor nuptial flight? Since you are keeping 2, you must have sold something.
Yeah, kind of. So I've kind of considered, like, is it possible to leave my windows open? Like, because Ants Canada has had nuptial flights in his ant room. So I was like, all right, it's got to be possible. Because if people are having their ants fly, like, try and fly in their ant room, then it's got to be, you know, if you have 2 species, then you can just have an accidental nuptial flight. But trying to figure out how to get it contained is where I'm kind of stuck. I kind of figured I'd cross that bridge when I got to it.
Yeah.
Like maybe a bug net or something, like a mosquito bed net. I could probably make something out of that. Or yeah, I don't really know.
Jordan Dean, Ants Australia, he also had the same with his Fidoli colony, I think. The naturalistic setup, and he placed the setup right over the window and just made them fly straight out of the window if they were to fly. Evening to crazy antics.
That's what I do with my Mermica Rubra. Like, whenever they'd have a flight in their kind of big tanks, I'd just stick it near a window, open the window, and let them fly out the window, and away they go. Best place for it. It's a nice thing about natives, I guess, though, that you can just crack open a window and let them out.
But how do you ensure they don't fly and just build inside your house?
No idea, really, but I think the light, innit? So if you have the house not too dark, they'll just chase the light out the window. That's my figuring, anyway. Although they might be going around the house, but there's a lot of spiders that would mop them up. Yeah.
So I still live with my parents, but eventually, like, when I get my own place, I'd really like to build a sunroom.
And I think what's a sunroom?
it's basically like a room with really big windows on as many walls as possible. So, like, usually 3 walls would be all glass, and then, like, you'd use it as like a sitting area. You keep your plants and stuff in there, and it's like, it's really not meant for anything other than hanging out in the sun without going outside, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like a green. It's like a greenhouse that's attached to your normal house.
Oh, a conservatory. I think, a conservatory.
Yeah, that's a fancier word for it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the British word. The good.
Yeah.
Americans call it like we see it.
Yeah, I love those comparison videos.
Like sidewalks and fall.
Yeah.
A parking lot. A lot for parking.
Yeah, I love seeing the videos where they compare the British American words and just here's a queue and here's a line.
But then it's like here's someone crossing the road, and then it's like here's someone jaywalking, and it's like what on earth is jaywalking? Like, I think it's crossing, literally crossing the road, isn't it? Jaywalking.
Yeah, like, it's crossing the road without a site, without a. Without using the designated crosswalk.
That's so weird.
It's technically a crime.
Anywhere here. It's a free-for-all. Like, anywhere you want, you just go for it. Look left, look right.
I think that's how it is in, like, bigger cities. But I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it's a, It's the same in Denmark, just a free for all.
I've never seen anybody get in trouble for it. Like, no. I've never heard of anybody getting a jaywalking ticket.
No, but you've heard about the not so good stories. I can't remember one of the police officers a few years ago, and I was so confused because they kept saying he had been, I don't know, I think was shot. I can't remember the story exactly, but it's still the whole Black Lives Matter protest and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like 10 years ago or something. I can't quite remember. It was before Black Lives Matter was a thing, but I just remembered it was all over the news. And as a little Dane who didn't quite understand English, I didn't understand. He was shot because he was walking over the street. And I was just... Yeah. I can't quite remember the story.
Oh, I think I know what one you're talking about now. Yeah, no.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
I can't comment on any of that because I'll get canceled. So I'm just going to, regardless of what I say, no matter whose team I'm on, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. So I'm not going to.
Understood. I remember, Jake, you said at one point that you got to remember to keep the lid on your bicarbonate atom. Have you noticed that they've flown up in the ceiling because they crawl out?
Yeah, I've spotted them flying out before, and luckily they always seem to get caught by the spiders, because around them I've just left the spiders be, because they're quite good at catching any ones that get out, and sometimes they will hide under the nest and you just got to wait, but the spiders are quite good at catching them. But I do have to keep the lid on though, because they can just and they're gone.
Yeah,
straight out.
I have the same now. I have daddy long legs in pretty much all corners of the room, and yet there's also other workers. I also have other workers in all the webs. I don't know when they escape, but they're just they. Sometimes they have clearly escaped. Yeah.
None of my ants have escaped in quite a while, and that's a relief.
Yeah, remember Lynn, you have had some escape stories.
Oh god, yes. And I also had spiders hunting the escapee, so that's nice. But jumping spiders are very good if you want to get rid of some loose ends. So
hang on, what?
Jumping spiders.
If you just let it go then.
Yeah. Yes. No, the Scutellaris, they escaped and they went to the bathroom and they went up in the ceiling in the bathroom. And I was like, well, how am I going to get those out then? Well, I just released a jumping spider. She would wait patiently in front of the hole and then go every time she saw a worker. And then when she was full, she would go to sleep in a nest somewhere. And then the next day, she would sit there again and catch the Crematogasters again. Very handy.
And you were able to get the jumping spider home again?
Yeah, because they react to movement. So when she sees you, She looks at you. She knows you. She knows that you are there. So they're really interactive with people as well. So
I was reading a thing about jumping spiders, and they're actually so you know how octopi are really, really smart for being a cephalopod? Jumping spiders are kind of the same way. They are really, really smart for being spiders. Any animal that uses vision as a primary sense for hunting is generally more intelligent than other animals in that species.
And that's funny. That's the funny thing with venators.
Smarter.
That's why I want bull ants. Because they look at you and they acknowledge your presence, and it's super it's off-putting. I like it. It's
yeah, they stare into your soul. That's what I'm always saying. But it's just funny because also hello to Lacius King. It's funny because Harbingnathus venators are considered prime. What's it called?
Primal.
Yeah, primal. Primitive. Yeah, it's primitive. Yes, exactly. And yet they are actually used as eyes, and that way they are a lot. I don't know if I would say directly they are smarter, but when looking as a human, they look smarter as they're going out to hunt.
I think they're like so not primitive. I swear it's just like racism or something, because they're so offensive, if you get what I mean. The other ants are all like, we're going to evolve to be social. And then, yeah, the harps were just like, we're going to turn the weapons up to 10 and just become solo killing machines sort of thing, instead of like teamwork. But they're definitely well advanced.
Yeah.
I would definitely not call them simple.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the day to get them again.
You saw on my Instagram story, that podcast that I was listening to today. I just barely finished it just before the show. It's a really good one. They were talking about they used a bunch of big science words. So I want to say basal lineage, but like the bottom of the family tree. They talked about like where hell ants fit in, and like, there's 20 quadrillion ants on the earth, if not more than that. It's just a bunch of fun little tidbits. They kind of go into specific species like the harps and bull ants, and actually they mentioned honeypots, which was cool. A lot of the other ant shows that I've tried to listen to during the day never mentioned honeypots. Everybody talks about leafcutters, though. Everybody loves leafcutters.
I mean,
they came out when the dinosaurs like disappeared, didn't they, or something? The leaf cutters, 60 million years ago. And yeah,
they were saying they might have been there even earlier than that. Like, so like T Rexes grew up avoiding anthills.
just imagine the super colonies before humans came and destroyed them.
Well, even the super colonies with humans present.
They're still a massive.
There's an ant for anything, I think.
Definitely.
Like, if you can think of a biological niche that something needs to fill, there's an ant for it.
It's like an egg cracking ant. I haven't seen one of those yet. One that can, like, crack an egg. That'd be a good source of food, then.
there's ants that steal eggs from other ants.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure there. I mean, trapjaws can bite the egg and maybe crack it. I'm not sure if it can take it in. I'm not really sure if they are that. I think the problem is probably their size. They're a little bit too small for that. Casey, how are you? Honeypots doing after? Are they in hibernation now, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Everybody's just like hanging out on the ceiling. Nobody's. They move a little bit and they come out for water, but for the most part, they're not. I don't have any brood. They're all just chilling. I had one pupae like 2 weeks ago, and after that one hatched, it was no more eggs yet. But everybody's still alive and drinking water, so that's cool.
Hibernation time.
Yes.
I think it's to take a round. How do you hibernate your ants? Are you just in a cold room, or how do you hibernate them?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. They're in my bedroom, and I spend like like 3 days a week, I spend the night at my girlfriend's house. And so like when I leave and I know I'm not coming back that night, I close my heater vent and I just let the room stay cold, and I just keep my door closed. And it's been like 65 degrees Fahrenheit in the morning when I wake up, so about 20 Celsius, I think.
Yeah, Ants Callis just said they don't go into hibernation. They just get slower. But yeah, they are. I guess they just go into diapause, which is the more
correct term.
Yeah, exactly.
We have honeypots in Utah also, so like some go into hibernation. You can't blanket statement that. Because like people say harvester ants don't go into hibernation either. And they totally do. It snows here. It gets up to a foot of snow in the area I caught mine. So they gotta. But I don't know. I'm just being picky. I'm sorry.
No, no, it's true.
Nico Berensis weather snow.
Yeah, I've also heard that. I can't remember where I heard it, but Nico's live where it snows sometimes, but the general vibe is just, no, they don't hibernate. But I think it's a little bit like with Jake, with your Tetsumaran by Karen Atom. If it gets cold, they activate it, but then if it gets hot again, they just deactivate it. So it's not as... Well, I like to think that the European ants are very much... I know, Lynn, you're a little bit the other way, but I know that I think it's... For me, I know... I think that they are a lot like, okay, wintertime, and now we rest, and we don't go out until we get that heat spike again. But it seems exotic ants have adapted a little bit more. Or maybe the European ants are just cheating what I'm thinking, and it's more like Lynn says that they just adapt. Always. but Lynn, how do you hibernate your ants?
Oh, well, I've quite a few of them I have in my fridge at the moment. So like the Manica and the Myrmica and the Lasius, even though some people say Myrmica don't go in the fridge. Lasius, of course, and the Formicas, all the Formicas are in the fridge. And then I have over here my Camponotus lateralis and my Tetramorium. And they are actually still on my desk, other desk. Because when I'm not here, when the computer is off, the temperature drops, which the meat ants don't like, but they have the heating vent. But it becomes like 16 to 18 degrees in here, Celsius. So they also slow
16.
Down. And then, yeah, my other room, my animal room, which holds the maculatus, which is a bit ironic, but they have heating mats as well, so they don't cool down. But that room is like 14 degrees right now as we speak, because I don't have the heating on. And like my Master Barbarus and my Camponotus Barbaricus are actually in there, so that's how I hibernate them. I just let the room go cold and very easy like that. And I actually need to move my the lateralis and the Tetramorium and the other Mesobarbarus that I have over here into that room. And maybe my Nicobarensis, because they are also pausing. So I might cool them down a little bit, see if it starts them up again. But yeah, generally I just make my house very cold.
I don't understand how we could live in that. Good evening to Aunt Antics, by the way. It's good you don't have leaf cutters. My room was 20 degrees, and I've never lost that much fungus in 1 week. I mean, I lost half my fungus because the room was 20 degrees, and they're still fighting to get it up to where it was. I mean, that's why my radiator is literally right in front of the leaf cutters, because I'm trying desperately to get the heat up again. I mean, it's 24 at the moment, so it's up there, but that's also one of the hottest days. Hottest times it's been in here. Normally it's around 22, but the leaf, I mean, they've just lost half the fungi. It's crazy. Just it due to it being colder. So yeah, good thing you don't keep leaf cutters, Lynn.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons that I don't keep them, because of the, one is the leaves, which is also funny, and two is the temperatures. Yeah, I can't keep it stable here, or, well, stable the wrong way, that's it.
Yeah. It's funny because I've never really had any problems with humidity. My problem is purely heat. Too hot. It's not too. I mean, it's not been too hot to keep the room not too hot, because during hot summer, I've just had a curtain in front and just not opened the door at all into the ant room. So the ant room was actually the coldest room in summer. It was so cold that even in the afternoon, I had to run my radiator because it was only 24 degrees. And then at night, it would, of course, get colder. So my radiator would be on at night and turn off at day, just because if I had the curtains up, it would be 30 degrees, because that was the rest of the house temperature or apartment. Jake, how do you hibernate your ants?
Yeah, I just basically I stick all the ants in one of the colder rooms. The room I'm in my bedroom, it's got the computer in, so it's a little bit warmer. So I just stick them in the living room, basically, and yeah, it gets a bit chilly in there. Like last night, I think it got down to 11 in there. So it's a good temperature for hibernating the girls. And some of them, though, I don't know if I'll hibernate my Tetramorium caespitum this winter. But I've kept some of them up. I just stick them in the incubator, keep them warm.
You're breaking the hibernation rules.
They had a few weeks. Like, they had a little bit of time.
Dangerous.
Three weeks.
Danger. I remember I asked Hood, of course, that Hans Hood did the whole hibernation experiment. But due to him getting, I think, too busy and time wasn't enough time, he had to call off the experiment and not really document it. But I asked, how did it go? Did you still do it? And he said, yeah, all the guys who didn't hibernate, the ants did extremely well over winter. But they all, don't quote me, ask Hans Hood if you want the correct answer. But I'm pretty sure he said that all the colonies he didn't hibernate with the Lacius Nigers, they did well until like March, and they just stopped, and it was just, they just acted weird, and as far as I remember, they didn't survive. So, yeah, they do well in hibernation, but they don't do well after hibernation. That's where time breaks. Or, yeah.
I'm hoping that they do all right. They did have a few weeks, about three or four, like, of hibernation, and I was like, that'll be you lot, because you're only small. I don't want you to get too cold. I'm hoping they'll be all right. Still not sure what to do with the manicure. Like, what do I do with... you're meant to hibernate them, but they're so delicate. I don't want to, like, kill them.
It's funny because, yeah, Lynn, you also said before that you were hibernating your rubies, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And my rubies.
And you said you want to, rather should you should choose to do it or not.
Well, some people don't let them go that low because they, even when they're in the fridge right now, they are actively scavenging, even though it's 5 degrees in there, 5 degrees Celsius. They are still out and out running about. Same with the manica. They are looking for sugars. Looking for sugars, looking for protein. They're looking around. They're still active, even though they're very cold. And all the lacius and formica are just clustered like a big clump. And then they are like everywhere looking for food. So yeah, maybe 15 degrees is better for them. And then like 1 month really low, and then next year 15. I'm not sure yet. I need to experiment on that. I actually have like 2 manicas at the moment, and I think I'm gonna take one of them out of the hibernation earlier to see how the colony will react on it.
Yeah, my harvester ants are doing something kind of similar. Like I keep them like as close to my window as possible, because that's the coldest corner, and they're my biggest colony, so I don't really worry about them getting too hot or too cold, because they're to a point now where I only have to hydrate their nest like maybe once a month, because I don't know how they're doing it, but they control their humidity super well. But yeah, they're right in my windowsill, like their foraging area is in my windowsill, and like, it's gotten cold enough to where there's condensation on the outside of the foraging area. But, they're still out there. They're slower. They are a lot slower than they usually are. And they're a little bit more clumsy, and they fall over a lot. But, like, yeah, they're still just out drinking. Like, they constantly come out for water. But, yeah, I'm surprised, because like last year they plugged up their nest entrance and didn't come out at all. But this
it's
year,
funny how they act weird.
Yeah, they don't seem to care. They don't seem to care that it's cold. They notice it's cold, but they don't seem to care about it.
The real question is, does weather affect ants? Boom.
Oh no.
Oh. Yeah. Boom. Next week's episode right there. Already recorded. Yes, mind-boggling. but yeah, the funny thing is, the reason I asked you, Lynn, with the rubas was when I didn't hibernate my Mimica ruba colony 1 year because they were in the natural tank, people were like, no, you've got to hibernate them. They need cold weather to produce elates for the season afterwards, which is something I don't know anything about it. But it's just funny when such a pro like you goes against that. Or at least, I mean, you didn't go against it, so I guess when
you want to see something against it. This is a Lacius flavus, and they're not in hibernation yet. But she has pupae. They have pupae. They have a lot of root. If you look there,
mad lad.
They are on 21
outrage.
Degrees. But yeah, I hibernated my Myrmica. And they actually did produce a late this year, but I've never not hibernated them. So I'm not sure if it's true that if you don't hibernate them, they don't produce a late. So I can't be sure about that.
No, I don't know.
Ryan but never hibernated since. But I don't know how his elates turn out. I know he does still get a late, but I do know he doesn't hibernate him.
Yeah, it's some of the things when if it actually affects the colony, you don't know it until it's too late. Same with the flowers. If it actually affects the colony, I guess I don't know how the clocks of the ants work, but couldn't you in theory, if they start acting weird, like with Hood's hibernation experiment, when they started acting weird around March, couldn't you just put them in a fridge and just have hibernation there? I mean, it would be very confusing for everything, but wouldn't that reset the clock that they were waiting? That they were waiting for that cold weather? That's the question. Yeah.
I would be curious to tell, because my formica, yeah, they went to sleep in about August, and if I could kind of give them a good shunt, if you get what I mean, and be like, get hibernation done and finished and over with, I'd love that. Because at the moment, they've just been sitting there doing naff all for months.
And yeah, same with my Fuscus.
Woke up again. But yeah. I don't know if
my Fuscus are exactly the same.
Poland, but we're cold, but yeah. It's not too bad, but it is a little bit annoying.
Yeah, I mean, my Fuscus haven't been doing anything for half a year. I mean, black on white. It's not really keeping an ant colony if they don't go out to get food. They don't. It's just I want the colony to grow. And I last year I was about to ditch them and send them onwards. But then this year they just went so crazy. I mean, they laid more eggs, and they completely exploded. I mean, they were so small in the nest, and they completely filled out the nest. They were massive. All the four queens just said, "Let's go." There were more eggs than workers. I mean, it was crazy. And then in June, quiet. Brood was just dying down, and they were just getting in hibernation. Midsummer, heat wave, and they just quit it. And since then, I've just fallen out of love in them again. I've just fallen, my interest have just dropped. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, I've thought about getting rid of my Formica several times because they are really, mine are really like a brood cycle type of ant, if that makes sense. So like they'll have like 3 months with absolutely no larva, no pupae, no eggs. And then, like, all of a sudden, they'll just be a big cluster. And then they don't, like, they do them in batches. So she'll lay, like, 50 eggs, raise them all, take a month break, and then lay another 50 eggs or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's super weird. So, like, my Formica are super boring for that reason. And they don't like proteins very much. Like, they don't like eating bugs that much. Like, they're all nanotics still, but I've given them like whole crickets and like grasshopper legs and things like that, and like they pretty much lick it till it's dry and then never touch it again.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly just picking dry bug parts out of it, and I don't even feel like they ate any of it. I'm like, finish your food.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. It's one of the common things as well. People say my ants don't eat protein, and I can say, well, are the larvae growing? And then they say, yeah, well, yes, they are. Well, then they're eating a diet. It's the same with me. I mean, when I see someone feed a cricket leg, I think, wow, that's so little. I feed an entire cricket, and I can't see that the ants have touched it. But of course, if they only really need a leg, it makes sense that you can't see it because I'm overfeeding them a lot.
I think they really, I think like with smaller colonies like that, that don't pick apart their protein options, I think they get most of their protein just from like, what's it called? Hemolymph, the bug blood. I think just suck up the bug blood and like whatever liquid stuff they can get a hold of and put in their social stomach.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. Also, the other thing is, if you have a flavus colony with 5 workers and 10 larvae, how much space can they consume if they have like a cricket? I mean, they don't have that much space to consume all this food. I mean, with my Nikos, there are so many bots to fill that they can just continue because there'll always be another bot to fill. But with 7 workers or something, it's not too much to fill.
Yeah.
But guys, we are getting close to the end. We've been live for a long time, and episode 25 special is about to enter the final stage. Okay, any Ant news from you guys?
Just the podcast on my Instagram story. That's all I've got. It's called I forget. Hold on. It is the Common Descent podcast, and I guess they were paleontologists that became science communicators, and yeah, they did an episode on ants as an entire like family in the animal kingdom.
How long is the episode?
About an hour and a half. It's pretty good. I liked it.
Nice, lovely. What about you, Jake? Go on.
Oh, I just went on Spotify and looked up ants. That's and I found it. So
the secret is out there now.
He's got ANN next week, and it's going to be a massive one. And Oliver's mic video, that's going to be on there. I mean, what other news? I think that's about it, really. Everything has slowed down a little. I noticed that now with the news. But yeah, it's all going well. Try not to drop the camera.
That's all the news I've got. The funny thing is all the Australian ankeepers waking up now. No rants coming out, and I mean, the ankeeper have been posting throughout his hibernation. Oh, I don't know how it works, to be honest, but yeah, he's of course still posting also. Yeah, that's the funny thing.
They're still going. Luckily, there's quite a few of them nowadays, so I can make like the news just about them if I have to.
Yeah. What about Julian? Any ant news? Oh. And if you don't have any ant news, it's time for the Mesocephalotus news thing.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I can actually try to show them off. I don't think, actually. That's the downside of the penis.
Oh, it looks great.
Yes. I don't want to tilt them too far.
Nah.
I might be able to shove like the sideways like this. Yes, there we go.
So for all those audio listeners, Lynn is very... She's showing the ants. I thought they were in a Saturn.
No, I don't have any Saturns available. They are all hiding in here, but there's now 3 Cephalotis workers. Very much brood still. All of the seats like rolled down in the outdoor, but that doesn't matter. 3 Cephalotis workers you can see here. The medias are running about. The Cephalotis and everything is now clopped up over here. They still have a lot of brood, so they're doing very well. And now I need to turn it around again.
Lovely. Well, for my ant news, I think Jake said a little bit. I've showed my making of this documentary on my Instagram channel, pretty much from the start, the day I started editing, till the end of the video. It's been a fun showing everything kind of behind the scenes. I still need to do one final story where I talk about the stats because I want to go over everything. But yeah, I mean, my ant news is what was it? There was a video. Someone made a video. No, I can't remember. Either way, my personal ant news is my Ada have had a massive drop. My Nico still have mites, and it's all good in games in here. Still treating all my ants with different mite treatments. So yeah, always nice. Always nice. To round out the episode, Jake, what do you do? You have any expectations for the future of the Antpod? Anything you want to see? Anything you want to do? Any episodes you would like? Any like overall thoughts?
Special behaviors, maybe. That's what I'd say. Maybe one day you'll have special behaviors like Carabera's trails and like messes making bread, like all those little things, maybe.
Yeah, proper
every
nerd. Yeah.
A little niche kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have thought like Formicast also did at one point doing specific, species specific podcasts. That's also something
I've
thought of.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to species specific deep dives would be fun.
Yeah.
Or if we back up a little bit, we do genus deep dives so that we can cover multiple species, and that would be that's technically less episodes, but it's not like there's a shortage of
No. I mean, we have a little bit done, not a deep dive, but a look into honeypots and a look into leaf cutters.
Yeah. I like that format a lot. It's nice.
Yeah, I must say I also liked, there's only a certain amount of podcasts we can make about everything. So I must say I do take inspiration from Formicast, but as he's not active at the moment, I'm going to do it. I really liked his series where I went around the world talking about the different species of America, of Europe, of any width of countries. And I thought it would be, just thinking about this here on the spot, it would be cool to have an individual from that region we discussed. So an Asian ankeeper, when we talk about Asia, an African ankeeper. I mean, I don't even know any African YouTubers, to be honest. To get someone like that to go on the show, just to get something like proper. Yeah, I think that would be cool. But yeah, Lynn, what do you think the future brings, or anything you want to bring in the future for the Antpod?
Maybe an episode on parasitic ants, like hosts ants and parasitic ants and stuff like that, like Formica or like Lassius related, or like two different podcasts, one for Formica, one for Lassius, slave making ants maybe. Stuff like that should be interesting.
Yeah, I think that episode was actually written down to be within one of the episode 20s.
Before it all got wiped.
No, I think it's. I think I pushed it down further and further. I'm not sure if it's still there. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if it still is there or not, but I wrote it down at one point. So that's definitely something we're going to do, Lynn. So don't you worry about that. Let me just check. So just black and white, episode 26 is currently set to be Does Weather Affect Ants? Episode 27, being an ant YouTuber, these can change, of course. 28, nuptial flights in captivity. It's going to be an interesting episode.
I'll figure it out.
Episode 29.
Well, actually, I have some nice things about that.
Yeah, so that's one of the upcoming. I mean, I'm sure I put it down at one point, the keeping parasitic ants. And then the episode that everyone's looking forward to within the young audience, episode 32, Young Ant Keepers Part 2. Definitely the most requested episode ever. it's actually gone. I have deleted it. I'm gonna put that in again. Casey, what would you like to see? Oh, hello, Campo Nico. But Casey, what would you like to see in the future of the Antpod?
I don't know. I'm just kind of happy to be here. The species, we kind of covered all the things that I'd like to cover. I don't know. I don't really know. It's been good all the way through, so I have no critique or suggestions.
I mean, that is what we want to hear. So there's nothing you want to do, certain you want to do?
No, I don't really have anything in particular. I would like to talk about your Nova Messer, because I am insanely intrigued by those ants, and I'm so jealous. I think I've said that on like 4 or 5 episodes with that species in particular. Just because they are so cool, and they are so close to being available to me, but they're just not. Like it's one state border away.
Oh, lovely. And yeah, it's definitely something. I mean, I guess that's something we do an American episode. I think an American will be like the top species of the country. I would just talk about it. The thing is, Nova Messer, they're cool, but I don't think we can make an entire episode on them necessarily. But that's definitely something to point out in the American episode. Hello, Ant Ramblings. Welcome to the end.
I gotta bail. I'm short on time.
Yes, but that is all right. We are about to end.
Been a good one. Yeah.
Have a lovely day. Get back to work and work all you want, Casey. Been lovely having you here on this a little bit extra long episode. But we are just about to end it. Hang on. Is there any more I want to say? I'm not sure there's any more I want to say. I forgot to say my thoughts. My big dream is still to get someone like Ants Canada on the show. But to just chat with him. Goodbye to Casey. But else, I think I just want to keep them going. I just want to improve every episode. I feel like I'm still talking too much. I need to talk less. But as the more we as a group talk together, the more comfortable we all get. And the more... I love it when I'm sitting here, when you talk to each other and you bypass me. Because then I'm actually feeling like I'm not the guy who gets every sentence flowing. Like it goes from me to someone to me to someone to me to someone. I love it when you just start chatting with each other, because then I actually feel like we're getting proper into just talking, which I want this podcast to just be a relaxed 1 hour talking episode. So yeah, that's kind of my dream for the podcast. But
it
yeah.
would be awesome if you got Hans Canada. Like that would be next level. Okay, I'm not like the biggest fan of him, but still, he's kind of every Yankee, but I guess Ants Canada, and half of them, he got him into it now. You can't really
80%.
You're not the biggest fan, but he's still done.
I wouldn't say I'm the biggest fan, but I still watch all of his videos, and I still think they're the great quality. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, he got me into hand keeping. He got, I think, more 80% than 50% of everyone into it. So, yeah, he's definitely one to get on the show one day. I would also like to get Lights, Camera, Ants on the show, but last time I tried contacting him, he denied and said he was too busy. But I think he'll be an interesting guy, not because of the controversy, but just because how he has done what he's done. Become one of the biggest YouTubers now. I would definitely like to talk with him probably, because I do respect him, because he actually chose to change when the community wanted him to change, which I really respect. Sadly, I don't know if the bridge is burned or not, but he's someone I wanna reach out to. But yeah, guys, with this extra long episode, I want to say thank you all for watching live. Thank you all for listening in, not live, but listening in. I mean, I guess you could also listen live. Thank you to all the viewers watching and dropping some comments. And I just want to say, I can't remember my final words, which I never can, but you will hear, I remember them now. You will hear more from us at the AntPod next week.